I'm going to talk about something this morning that's very, very simple, but yet very, very profound at the same time. And that song puts me in the mood for it. I want to talk to you, and don't tune me out the minute I say this, because you think, Pastor, I've heard all that stuff. I want to talk to you about loving God and loving each other, and how when those two are hand in hand, it will perfect what God wants to do in our lives. But those two have to be in order. Are you with me? We like the whole idea of loving God because we don't see God with our physical eyes. Oh, we may have some incredible manifestations and be privileged to have that throughout our life. But we don't realize that the scripture teaches that for God's love to be perfected in us, we got to get this relationship right. And that's the tough one. Anybody agree? Man, we can sing, oh, how he loves us, and tears run down our face because we know he. How could he prove it any stronger? Sent his son to die on a cross for us. We've gotten so used to that story, but that is an awesome, powerful story, Mike, that God, the creator, who said, let there be light, the vastness of the universe he created, he would care enough about us to actually send his son to shed his blood in a physical body for our sins. That is a mind-blowing story. But we've gotten used to it, so I don't think we grasp it sometimes. But I think what we miss in the body of Christ is that this relationship is so key for this one to be perfected. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. The reason that the devil is constantly trying to stir up trouble in body of believers, anybody been there? The reason that the devil is constantly trying to stir up trouble in body of believers is because he doesn't want the love of God perfected in me and you. Because he knows that if the love of God is perfected within us, it's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. That if the perfect love of God begins to work in us, that's a powerful, powerful thing. And so he doesn't want that perfected. He doesn't want to see that grow. He doesn't want to see that develop. And it's tied to this relationship. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandments? He said, hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's this relationship. And the second commandment is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's this relationship. And the cross, make that up. We like this one. God loves us. We love him. Oh, how he loves us. But boy, it's tough sometimes keeping the bugs worked out of this one. Do you agree? And the enemy is always at work. Interesting verse, 1 John 4, 11 through 12. St. John, of course, was penned by the Apostle John through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All scripture is given of God. God breathed. But then in 1 John, we find he's an older man. And isn't it interesting, in his older years, so much of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John is devoted to the love of God. I'm finding that in my own growth. That as I'm getting older and closer to heaven, that the love of God is beginning to surface more, and the importance of that and the other stuff's beginning to melt away. How important it is loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends. It don't get any better than that. Loving God, loving each other. And guess what? The story never ends, because this is eternal life, that you know him. So that song fits perfect. Loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends. Oh, he can give you a song. Anybody get a song in the night? Anybody wake up with a song on your mind? Be careful about the input. Little sidelight. Be careful about the input. Garbage in, garbage out. Oh, there's a lot of trashy stuff going on in the media. Be careful. You know, we don't run around and stand on people's porches and monitor all that stuff. But I got to be honest, I've walked up on porches and thought, oh my, I hope that was just happened to be on there for a second. Because if that's what you're feeding your brain, garbage in, garbage out. The love of God, the power of God, the word of God. Let's saturate ourselves in that. If we're going to go to sleep listening to something, let's let it be, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Let's let that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's let that be going into our brain when we go to rest and when we go to sleep. we have such advantage in that we could get a Bible app and have two earbuds, and we can hear the scriptures at any point, and we can hear music at any point. Loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends. Loving God, loving each other, the story never ends. It's perfectly logical, Kevin Smith, for me to say to you, 1,000 years from now, we'll hang out in heaven and talk about this church service. Because Christian friends are eternal friends. Some are fortunate to be a friend for a day, some unfortunately for just a night. And some maybe are fortunate to have a friend for months or even years, and some even would have a lifetime friend. But eternal friendship. Greg and Tammy, we're eternal friends. As you came into the kingdom of God, and we're in the kingdom of God, and we've come into the kingdom of God, we're eternal friends. 100,000 years from now, we'll be talking about, remember we used to sing that song? Remember the church service? Remember when you gave your testimony at CMO there on the highway? Wasn't that cool? 10,000 years from now, because the story never ends. Interesting verse. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Now stay with me. His love is perfected in us. That word perfected in the Greek has some awesome implications. You got to get this. That word perfected in the Greek has some awesome implications. The implication as you study that word, not just the definition, but the context of that word and how that Greek word is used for perfected in Scripture, it means to be consummate as marriage is consummated. Isn't it interesting? No man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, the second commandment, God dwells in us and his love is consummated in us. The intimacy in marriage is consummation of marriage. As we connect with God, it's connected to our relationship with our brother. It's connected to our relationship with our sister. More and more as I walk and pray, I find myself spending time saying, Lord, is there any aught against anyone? Is there any ill against anyone? Now, there might be some aught that you can't help, that can't be stopped. I've had people I've gone to, they don't want to work it out. You know, you can't control that. You can't control that. Sometimes you go and plead with the person. I've been there. Some of you have too. I know that you have, and I want to be sensitive to that. You can't control that. I gave the gift of forgiveness to somebody Christmas Sunday. Some of you thought that message was for you, and you say it benefited you, and I'm glad it did, but it was also for me. I carried a huge box out of this room, and I must be a decent actor like Mother, because everybody thought the box was heavy, and it was empty. But I was acting like it was heavy, and it was the size of the door, and you could barely get it out the door, and I wrestled with it and carried it in here, and I set it down, and I called it the gift of forgiveness. And what you didn't know is that there was somebody that I needed to forgive that wasn't sorry. You know, we all can muster up some forgiveness if somebody grapples at our feet and begs us to forgive them. We all can muster up some forgiveness, but it's a little different story when they're not sorry. And I needed to forgive somebody that isn't sorry. But I knew I needed to do that. And so God worked that into a Christmas message to help you forgive and to help me forgive. But I needed to forgive somebody that wasn't sorry, that it hurt me awful. I want the love of God perfected in me. Anybody with me? I want the love of God perfected in me. Consummation. You can say, oh, I want intimacy with God. Oh, sing that song again. Here we are to worship. Oh, Pastor, I love all that thrills my soul. Pastor, could you have them run through some of those songs again? Those are awesome songs. You can't, intimacy with God, consummation of the marriage, intimacy with God is tied to our relationship with our brother and sister. Oh, Pastor, why'd you have to bring that up? I was really enjoying the service. And then you have to bring up something like that. I want to be clear. It was awesome, and I mean awesome. I do mean to say that. I'm not saying that in a flippant way or anything else. A near-death experience is nothing to be light about. But on November the 21st, 2005, when they didn't think I'd live the night, and they quit hiding the fact that they were hurrying to try to find me blood and that I was in big trouble, and that I was beginning to bleed out through my skin. And it was great. It was great. And it was awesome to have no phone calls to make. I remember doing inventory, let a man examine himself. Oh, does that mean, is there anything I would do different if I lived my life over? Oh, yes. There's a whole host of things I would do different. If I had, is there some judgments, and have I made some bad calls, and have I looked back and realized that, oh, I wish I'd have handled that in a better, smoother way? Guilty. Guilty. Absolutely. But it was great to know your heart, that there was no phone calls to make. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is consummated or perfected in us. Truly loving each other unconditionally and expecting nothing in return, and truly forgiving from the heart perfects God's love in us. Perfects God's love in us. I have written here, that is why forgiving and keeping things so clear between us is so very, very important. All right. Don't know for sure what I'm going to say. Not going to talk real long today. It's holiday weekend. Four powerful, life-changing passages. Four powerful. We're talking about this whole thing of loving God, loving each other, the two greatest commandments. I want God's love perfected in me. Perfect love casts out fear, says in 1 John. I want his love perfected in me as I age. But that's tied to that second commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, let me repeat. Truly loving each other unconditionally and expecting nothing in return, and truly forgiving from the heart, perfects God's love in us. Vince, if you and I, Michael, Brian, the pastor staff, we can talk about intimacy with God all we want, and I believe we're sincere about it, and we can talk about the pearl of great price, but this is all tied together. It's interwoven. And I believe that you seek that clear heart. No hidden messages there. I believe you seek that clear heart as I do. I want the love of God perfected in me. I want it perfected in me. Four powerful passages. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Pretty impressive, Lord. What do you think? What do you think, Lord? Seven? Huh? Come on. Perfect number. Seven. I'm going to forgive seven. Jesus said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Daddy used to say, that doesn't mean 490. That means have a forgiving spirit. That doesn't mean 490. That means have a forgiving spirit. Therefore, interesting, he follows that with a story. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed 10,000 talents. What strikes me in this story isn't so much the powerful forgiveness message, but the contrast in the story. $10 million in excess, actually in the Greek, this is in excess of $10 million. So the contrast of the debts here in this story is incredible. Later it refers to $15, $10 million, excess of $10 million versus $15. Verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him over $10 million. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Forgave him a debt in excess of $10 million. Now that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him $15, 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, "Pay me what you owe me." His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay you the $15. But he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very, very sorry and came told their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord said, after he had called him, "Said thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because you desired me to. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee?" And the Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise will your heavenly Father do unto everyone who does not forgive from the heart a brother that trespasses. These are heavy things. These are heavy things. As I said a moment ago, it's easy to forgive someone who grapples at your feet and confesses all that they've done and asks you to please, begs you to forgive them for hurting them. But it's a whole different situation to forgive someone when there's no evidence that they're sorry. But you need to take them that gift of forgiveness. And you can't make them open it. You can't even make them receive it, but you can set that in front of them and walk away and know that you gave it with no strings attached. Unconditional love. Oh, Pastor, I want the love of God perfected in me. As I said, the context of that in the original Greek is his love is consummated in us. Lord, I want that intimacy with you. I want to be the bride of Christ. No man has seen God at any time, and if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected. So the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus capped that and said, a new commandment I give you, after he went to the cross, and he said that you love one another as I have loved you. So this relationship affects whether this one is perfected. You with me? This relationship affects whether this one is perfected and whether I can have the closeness with God that I want. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Stay with me. I'm reading a little more scripture than I usually do. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Oh, wow. That sets it straight, doesn't it? Even if I would speak with the tongues of men and angels, but if I don't have love, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, oh my, I'm going to make a big sacrifice here. I'm going to give my body to be burned, and if I don't have love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity, love, suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Never faileth. As we show the love of Christ, now stay with me, I'm going to tell you a little story. As we show the love of Christ, as we clear our hearts of the ought and ill, as we keep our heart open, we give that gift of forgiveness, maybe over and over and over, that perfects the love of God in us. When we went to Haiti, I picked some very special people in a very small circle and asked them to pray for me in an area. It was a very private request. I said, I need you to pray for me in a certain area. What is that, Pastor? I said, I've lost Pastor Tom, and I need to find him. This has been a hard winter. Lots of difficulties in the family. Lots of hardships. And the most honest thing I can say is, I feel like I've lost Pastor Tom. Jesse, remember me saying that to you on the airplane. I've lost Pastor Tom. I said, he's down in there someplace. I know he's in there. I know he's in there. I see signs of him. And he meets with God every day, but I feel like I can't find him. Anybody ever feel like you lost yourself? I said, pray in Haiti that we can sort out these difficulties in Haiti in a very challenging situation, but there's something else far more personal that I shared with this small circle. I said, pray that I will find Pastor Tom. Well, there were several things. I found him. He was in there. He's a nice guy. I found him. And there were several things that helped me find him. And I'll not go into all that. Some of it's very personal. Some of it's things that he showed me. You know, I'm not playing with you here. I'm being just honest and open, letting Tom the little boy out here. But one thing he showed me was that in this new role that I'm taking, where I'm meeting more with leaders and I'm not so one-on-one with people, I'm not feeling the love of God as much because the two great commandments, Vince, are tied together. So he said, Tom, don't overdo that. Yes, you need to do some semi-retirement for sure. You need to slow down, but don't just have meetings all the time because it's in the one-on-one of loving people. Loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends. The story never ends. The love of God, that's heavy, consummated. The intimacy, the marriage, happens when we got this right. And I found Pastor Tom, and he was smiling down in there when I found him. And God showed me, Tom, yes, you'll be doing more meetings, and there, you'll be doing more leading from the back. You're getting older, but don't surrender everything in one-on-one because that's how my love is perfected in you. Ah. Have I had confirmation since? Are Michelle and Linda here today? Have you seen them? They're not here. Don't want to make them self-conscious. Not saying anything bad about them. We took the horses out. And this is before we went to Haiti, but God reminded me of this. We took the horses to the teen church. And Cheryl and Linda come from a difficult situation. And in fact, Linda's too young to come to youth, but Michelle didn't want to leave her little sister at home. So she asked if she could bring her, otherwise she wasn't coming. So we figured all that out, and she came along. She was so excited about riding a horse for the first time, this precious little girl who's given her heart to the Lord. She was so excited, Lynn, about riding a horse. She was trembling. And I said, honey, what's the matter? Because I love to see people enjoy the horses. I said, honey, what's the matter? She said, I've wished all my life I could be on a horse. And she's just doing this. And I thought, sweetheart, you're going to ride all evening. I'm gonna just come. But while we were walking down the road and that little girl was smiling, saying, thank you, Pastor Tom. I felt the love of God perfecting in me. Are you with me? This is tied together. This is a simple message, but there's a sense in which where it's amazingly profound. God cannot consummate the marriage. He cannot perfect the love of God if we don't keep this right. That's why he tries to tear every church to pieces. That's why he tries to break unity. That's why he tries to stir up trouble constantly, because he does not want the love of God perfected in you, Andre. He does not want that to happen, because if the love of God is perfected in me and I show the pure love of God in its proper way, it'll be life-changing when I visit you. I will bring a presence. And when I come to your hospital room and I leave, you'll say, I don't know what's with that guy, but something happened when he came in the room. That ain't about Tom. And it's available to all. But the devil does not want the love of God perfected in you, so he just keeps stirring up nonsense in our lives. Are you with me? And we spend our life going in circles, chasing our tail, instead of putting aside the nonsense and saying, I want the love of God perfected. I want to be married to this Creator. I want to be the bride of Christ, and he's going to come back for his bride, and I want to have a pure relationship, and he'll perfect that within us. Does that make sense? Yesterday, I had it again. The Miami Baptist Church down the street, the Sheplers are involved there, and they're my good neighbors, and my goodness, they're so nice to me. I always prayed I could do something for Bill. He's always doing stuff for me. Lets me put my horses in his field and gives me exclusive hunting rights on his property. If somebody comes and asks to hunt his property, he says you have to ask Tom. Is that God taking care of you or what? I walk out the door, across the fence, I got access to everything. He asks me if he can use my deer stands that are on his property. That's God spoiling you. That's God giving you favor. So I prayed, Lord, help me do something for Bill. I never do anything for Bill. He's always doing stuff for me. So a few days ago, he said to me, hey, we're having a church party and we're having all the little kids down. Would you be able to bring your horses down? So I told Pam, I said, we got to work this out. We got to work this out. And she had to go get her nails done. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to get it for that. I'm just teasing. I just seen if she's awake. So we had a lot of stuff to do, but we worked it out. And I took the horses down. And those little kids. This one little Indian boy from India. Just the cutest little guy, just jet black hair. He just rode around that horse set up and he said, oh, thank you, this is so fun. And he just kept asking me questions about horses. He wouldn't know everything about their bathroom rules and everything. He just asked me a million. He just asked me a million questions, but it's the cutest thing. He just said, and then when he got all done, his father, who is from India, came to me and he said, could I ask you another favor? And I said, sure, you know. Lots of free time. No, just kidding. He said, I have a tribal costume from India, and I'd like to wear it and be on that big palomino of yours. Could you come back another day and take my picture? I said, you give me a day, brother, and I'll be there. But while I was walking that little Indian boy, I felt the love of God flowing through me, through that dirty lead rope, to the halter of that horse, and back to that little boy. And when I lifted him off the horse and he grinned and said, thank you, I felt the love of God. Are you with me? This goes together. We want to worship in America. Praise, 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 praise. New dance team, praise team. We're going to praise, praise, praise. But we don't want to deal with this stuff. But that's how the marriage gets consummated. You with me? The love of God is perfected, that verse said, the first one up there. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected or consummated. We can go on and on about, oh, closeness to God, and I'm going to buy 14 more devotionals, and man, I'm going to get close to God. And God's saying, deal with your issues. Deal with your issues. Deal with your issues. Now, let me be sensitive there. Sometimes you can't fix it. You can't fix it. I've had people, I've worn myself out, I've gone to their home, I've got on my hands and knees in front of their coffee table and asked them to forgive me for hurting them, and they're still mad. Sometimes you can't fix it. But you can take the gift of forgiveness and you can put a pretty bow on it, and you can have a great big smile, and you can set it down, and you can mean it with all your heart, and you can walk away. You can't help it if they don't unwrap it. But boy, the truth sets you free. And I felt so good after that Christmas sermon, and some of you said it helped you. I felt so good after that sermon, because after that sermon, I felt free of something that had been bugging the heck out of me. I had a right to be hurt. I had a right to be hurt. There's things that are painful in life. It isn't easy. The love of God is consummated within us. I found Pastor Tom, and I realized I need to do that one-on-one stuff. He wants to perfect his love through me. He wants to work through me. Isn't it neat when God's love shows up in a marvelous way? It's just us here. I already told Greg and Tammy this story. See, I know your name's not Tanya. But this is awesome. I love it when the love of God just comes in on a situation. Lonnie, you'll enjoy this. Steve Brandt became a Christian in his last months of his life. I think you all know that. Many of you had a big part in that. I had a little part. I didn't have a great big part, but I had a little part. Howard had a part. Over the years, we planted some seeds. Many contributed to that. It's just awesome when God's love comes in a one-on-one situation. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, I'm tying into 1 Corinthians 13 here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I have not love, I'm nothing. It's about the love of God. It's about the love of God. That's what it's about. Now, is there stuff we got to work through, and there's some things we need to get our act together? Absolutely. God wants life to work better than it is for us, okay? And there's some stuff we got to weed out, and there's some stuff we got to get worked out. But at the end of the day, it's the love of God. What did he ask Peter? Peter, are you going to do the Sermon on the Mount? Peter, do you remember? I'm going back to the Father here in a few minutes because it was after the resurrection. Are you going to go? Do you remember Matthew 5, 6, and 7 now, don't you? You remember that? Of course, it wasn't written yet. But you remember that sermon? Don't you forget that stuff. You be sure you do that. Now, have you got these commandments memorized? That is what he said. He said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Steve called me Rev. For Reverend. He called me Rev. Whenever he'd see me, I remember 30 years ago. I remember one time it was snowing. I rode an old Sportster over there. I remember he said, and this wasn't true, but I got a kick out of it. He said, this pastor must be hardcore. He said, he's riding and it's snowing. He always had his cigar in the corner of his mouth. Of course, I wasn't hardcore. But he was just meeting me. And I went over to have an old Sportster worked on. And that was probably, my goodness, that's probably 30 years ago when they were on the other end of town. But anyway, Steve always called me Rev. And so I had heard that Steve became a Christian. And I was elated. And I didn't know the circumstances of all that or anything. So Steve's just Steve, you know. He'd been around the block and then some. And been through a lot. And he's sitting on the bench out in front of Brant's. And I pull up and I hear somebody holler across the parking lot, Rev! So I waved at him. He said, come here! So I go over and he's sitting there on that bench on the end where he sat. He's got a big cigar in the corner of his mouth here. He's chewing on it. He said, did you hear the news? Did you hear the news? I said, what news? He said, I got the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. Well, you know, I wasn't used to that setting with that particular choice of words. And I just looked at him and I raised my eyebrows and I'm glad I did. He said, and he broke into a smile and he said, ain't that cool? And I immediately felt the love of God on that bench. And I said, that's cool, Steve. Put her there. I said, tell me about it. He said, man, I've been going to church. He's chewing away on his cigar. He said, I've been going to church. I said, yeah. He said, Rev, I'm telling you, I just felt something. And he said, does anybody want to go up front? And he said, I went up there and knelt down. He said, I cried and I cried and I cried. And he said, God gave me the Holy Spirit. He said, man, I felt different since. And I thought, isn't it amazing how God will move in and meet us right where we are? And that day on that bench, I said, Lord, could you somehow help me connect that well with people? Now, did he need to work through some things? Oh, yeah. You know, don't be deceived by modern teaching, my dear friend. Don't be deceived by modern teaching, my dear friends. Jesus didn't pull the woman caught in adultery in and say, now, honey, you just go right on with your lifestyle. Because I understand that it's rooted in insecurity, and you're going to need to do this the rest of your life. He said, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. Who said that? Well, get mad at Jesus, not me, because Jesus said that. He said, neither do I condemn thee. This is the whole gospel. This is what David Wilkerson got so worked up about. He said, these churches out here are attracting millions of people, but they're not telling the whole story. He didn't say, honey, I understand. You've been through so many scars, you're probably always going to sleep with people the rest of your life, and it's just, I understand. No. He said, neither do I. Where are thine accusers? Where's those guys who had their finger in your face? She said, well, they've all left. And he said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. You know, people get upset because they're going to come to the rescue resort. And we're going to continue this, and we're going to continue that, and we're going to continue the other. I don't think anybody here is upset, so there's no silent messages here. But we have this from the public, the upset. Pam said to me one time, how do you feel about that? I said, well, what would you answer if somebody called up and they said, well, I'm a heroin addict and a cocaine addict, and I'm going to come, but some conditions are is I'm bringing my heroin and cocaine. I'll be using it every day. No, we'll say, well, honey, you can't come because you've got to be willing to leave your sins, okay? You've got to be willing to leave your sins. Now, we understand that can be a process, and we hope we put that together well, and we can help you with that process. But, you know, people say, well, I'm coming in, but this is what I am. Well, are you willing to leave it? But as we forsake our sins, and as we purpose in our heart, as Daniel did, to live for the Lord, and we follow him, he wants to perfect his love in us. But those two commandments go together, mine. They go together. We can say, sing that song again. I want to feel God. I want to feel God. That verse tells me that if we love one another, God dwells in us, and then is his love perfected in us. This marriage isn't going to happen. There's not going to be that intimacy with God that we sing about if we don't have things right on the home front. And though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, man, you say, boy, this person's an orator. Man, you ought to hear them. Oh, man, they got gifts of the Spirit. They speak in 47 tongues. If I speak the tongues of men and angels and I don't have love, I'm like a hitting that cymbal over there. Isn't that what it said? Am I making this up, or is that what it said? Yeah. So this must be an awful important thing. And Howard, we made a choice here, haven't we, over the years, on what the doctrine's going to be. I ain't going to fuss about some things. I ain't going to tear up everything and have all kind of problems. But I'll tell you what I do want to have straight, keeping the main thing the main thing. The main thing's keeping the main thing the main thing, and it's got to be a relationship with Jesus, and it's got to be right this way. And if it isn't right, let's get it worked out. Humble yourself and get it worked out. And you can't control how everybody feels about you. And we need to have the courage to stand on our own two feet when that gift isn't accepted. Let me say that again. We need to have the courage to stand on our own two feet when that gift isn't accepted. But we still need to bring the gift with a smile and say, I give it unconditionally to you. I forgive you. I had a person I needed to forgive. And God said to me, well, you have lots of notes. And they were appropriate notes because I'm a director, so I need to keep notes. They're notes that have various things listed that were actually records of things. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love keeps no record of wrongs. I said, all right, we can do that. We'll give the gift of forgiveness, and I'm going to print out this list, and I'm going to tear it up in little tiny pieces. Then if anybody ever says, where's your evidence? I'll say, I tore it up because I gave the gift of forgiveness. Does that make the situation right? No. Does that person need to humble themselves and make some things right? Absolutely. But that's between them and God. I want the love of God perfected in me. You with me? I want the love of God perfected in me. I want this marriage consummated. I want this to be the real deal. I want a connection with God. And I found that as I do that, I have that. It's hard stuff sometimes because it gets into our hide. And that neat story about Steve. Wasn't long after that, Steve died on the county road over there. But I know that day, I'd love to have a video of our talk on that bench. I know that day that the love of God settled down on that bench, and I knew that man had connected with the Lord, and once again it showed me that God meets us right where we are. He meets us right where we are. Man, I'm glad I got to experience that. You know, of course, if I'm over there and I'm all ticked off about something, I'm going to miss that, aren't I? You know, if I'm all sideways about life all the time, I'm going to miss that stuff. And that happens. We all fall short. That's what the altar's for. We back up. We start over. Lord, help me to re-engage. Clear my heart. I want your love perfected in me. Well, I probably about talked enough, but let me jump ahead real quick because I do want to put something else up here that will be good for you. John 15, Galatians 5 is, we read 1 Corinthians 13 and Matthew 18. Galatians 5, of course, is the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. So I'm not going to turn to that and read it, but save that in your mind for a minute. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And so then John 15 is the passage, I am the vine, you're the branches. And I want to close with that. I am the vine, you are the branches. So we're extensions of Jesus. And I would encourage in your own devotional time to read that passage. Let me just read a little bit. John 15. Keep in mind Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Those are the things we offer to a troubled world. Now Jesus said, I am the vine. And my Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch, and I'm going to close here directly, so stay with me. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the words that I spoke unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. So, in closing, let's get the picture here. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. 1 Corinthians 13, it's all about love. Two greatest commandments. This is all tied together. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Now, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. You're extensions of me. Let me read something to you that part of this came from Don Day. He sent this to me this week and I reworded it and added some things. This is good stuff. So let's read the verse at the top again, John 15, 5. I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now, this is awesome. A small wound is inflicted every time fruit is picked. You agree with that? When you pick fruit, there's a small wound inflicted. The taker gives nothing back to the tree. Unconditional love. But if the fruit is ripe, truly the fruit of the sweet Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, the taker eats it and multiple seeds will be discovered. I added some of that to what Don sent me. I've been thinking about it all week. Don sent me this cool text about John 15. He said, think on this. When we love unconditionally, it has incredible reproductive power. Stay with me. This needs to be at the end of the message. So, a small wound is inflicted every time fruit is picked. When fruit is taken, there's a small wound inflicted. The taker gives nothing back to the tree. Robbie, you come pick a fresh pear off this tree, and when you pull it loose, there's a small wound there where it was that then closes up. But if there is a wound, and then you partake of that fruit, but you don't give anything back to the tree, that's an unconditional love. I'm afraid that we often have an agenda as Christians. We often have an agenda. Easy to love them that love us. But when that love, joy, and peace is picked from my tree and somebody takes some of that from me, when that's picked from my tree, ouch, snap, oh, they took another one. Oh, ouch, they took another one. And there's some wounds inflicted. And that taker doesn't give anything back to the tree. They consume that. And you can have some wounds, Vince. You can have some wounds when you're offering your fruit. Okay? You can have some wounds when you're offering your fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. You can have some wounds. And boy, if you got a whole bunch of people picking a lot at once that are really hungry and broken, you can end up with mercy sakes. Whoa, let's take a break here on the picking for a minute here. This is pretty sore. I'm pretty wounded. You with me? You can have seasons where a lot's picked from you. Some of you have had that. Some of you are going through some times where that's really taxing to you. This is good stuff. But if the fruit is ripe and it's truly the fruits, the sweet fruit of the Holy Spirit, the taker eats it and multiple seeds are discovered. As Robbie eats that pear and gets down to the core of it, there's a bunch of seeds in there, often depending on which fruit it is. What am I summing that up to say? When we love unconditionally, it has incredible reproductive power. When I love and give that gift of forgiveness, they didn't say I'm sorry. Not only that, they're not sorry. I give that gift and I smile with true purity of heart and walk away and say, I give you that gift. If they will open that, it will have tremendous reproductive power. This is why God calls us to this tall order of unconditional love, because it produces seeds, and on up the road, there's a whole cornfield that came from that one kernel. And if you can get a body of believers to buy an end to this solid, solid theological teaching, because it's very solid, if you can get a body of believers buying into that, and go ahead, let the world pick some fruit from us. Go into Walmart and you're not treated very nice. Let them go ahead and take one of those pears. Ouch, it inflicts a wound. They're going to consume that. But if you gave it with the purity of heart, it's reproductive in its essence. Does that make sense? It's reproductive within itself. in this ministry. David Walker would be an example of this. I've had people walk into this ministry and come up and say, "Do you remember me?" And I said, you look familiar. Well, you haven't seen me since I was a little boy. I was on the kids' church bus at Zion Chapel back in the 80s. And I go, "That is you. I remember you." I had this happen out at Gallahan's. A kid came up to me and said, "You remember me?" He used to sing the song Born Again. And or what was that song? He was real Dutchy. That little kid in the Plaza Trailer Court. But he was real Dutchy, and he'd sing that song about being born again, and we got such a kick out of it. Oh, except the man be born king, can't say king of heaven. Yeah, he used to say it real Dutchy. And it was the cutest thing in the world. This grown guy comes up to him, and he's working at Gallahan's, and he says, "You remember me?" And I'm thinking, "Well, you look slightly familiar." And he was on the kids' church bus, and I was the driver. Reproduction. I've never forgotten when you did this. I never forgot. Remember when we had the big children's program and you brought the pet raccoons in, and remember you had all the Bible stories and you had the kids come up front. I remember that. I think about that when I'm sad. I think about that when I'm going through a hard time. Reproduction. Unconditional love. Keep giving it away. Ben, keep giving away branch. It kills you. And so at the end of the day, you're ready to quit. Keep giving it away. Well, this isn't easy. In a hard, cold world, for God to call us to give unconditional love, it does hurt when they pick that fruit. Go ahead, let them take it. Because when they chew that up, if you gave it with right motive and it had the sweetness of the Holy Spirit and it wasn't motivated by personal agenda or anything like that, it was motivated by the love of God, it's reproductive in nature. I can't tell you the times I've thought something went completely up in smoke and I thought the time was totally wasted, hundreds of hours with somebody, and then they'll walk in to the church and they'll say, "You remember me?" And it was 25, 30 years ago. It's reproductive. And you find then it splashed out on others and affected others. God's love is contagious. We can sing all we want. We can dance. American churches are full of people standing on their heads this morning, singing and carrying on. Worship teams are hollering and moaning. We enjoy. I'm not making fun of music. But I'm saying, I think we're interested in intimacy this way. We're interested in the marriage being consummated. But the scripture says that it has to do with this one. And so the devil is out constantly to disrupt that. That's why it says, agonize to keep the unity. Make every effort in the Greek is from the Greek word agonize, which is where we get the word agonize. Agonize to keep the unity because he wants to break that up. As we grow, as many of our people aren't here this morning, but as we grow and as we develop as a body of believers, be a watchdog. Be a watchdog for squelching things the devil would want to use. Pour water on stuff, not gasoline on stuff. This isn't about trying to form an organization and Tom trying to keep it all together. No, this is about us being aware of some Christian principles. The devil wants to plant disunity and division every chance he gets. Because he does not want the love of God perfected in you and I. Because if it does, Andy, it's a powerful thing. It is a powerful thing. Powerful thing, and he knows that. He wants to destroy that. Let's stand together for prayer.